waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side. I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything, 'cause my brokenness brought me you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. Now I'm standing in confidence, with the strength of your faithfulness, and I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. So I'm thankful for in your hands, in your feet, I found my victory. I can see how you deliver me. In your hands, in your feet, I found my victory. I'm thankful for your scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know. With my life, I'll tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful. I'm thankful for the stars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Now, we are in our discipleship series that we've been doing for a long time now, because it's important to understand what it means to be a disciple. And we are in our period of our apologetics, where we're answering all the big, tough questions of what we believe and why we believe and how we know it to be true. But we broke away last week from the apologetics. We'll get back to that in about 2 weeks, because we have our annual meeting coming up next Sunday, and I wanted to look at the condition not only of our church, because there are ways we are struggling as a church, there's ways we're doing quite well, but I wanted us to look and remember how important it is for us to be the church. And last week we started looking at the conditions we find ourselves in the world. And we looked at all the sin, all the temptations. The enemy is hard at work, and he is coming after the church, but especially our kids. So last week we looked at all the influences. Next slide, Levi. We looked at all the influences that me and Wendy have dealt with, from children's church to the teen youth group. things that kids are dealing with, that are kids are into, all those came from youth group members, children's church. The enemy is after the young people. The enemy is after our children and grandchildren. He's not at the door. He's already in. We have to understand that. We have to understand the influences and the temptations that our children, even if you're trying to shelter them, you're not going to be able to shelter them 100%. So we looked at all these influences last week. Now, one at the bottom, the worldly distractions. These are not necessarily sinful things, but they are things that we teach our kids are more important than their personal relationship with Christ and being the church. And I step on toes in this subject when I tell parents, but I have worked with teens now for 23 years. I have seen so many teens walk away from God when they get older. Why? Because their parents taught them that God is important, you must love Jesus, but other things in the world come before Him. Jesus, God, falls into the background or into the back seat, and there's other things that are more important than being in relationship with Jesus Christ and taking that relationship serious and being the church. There needs to be a wake-up call to what is happening with our younger generation. The enemy is after them. Let me show you something very crucial about the church towards the end of time. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, Apostle Paul is writing to the young pastor Timothy, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. Who is the Apostle Paul talking about here? What people? The church. We expect the unbelieving world to be like this, and we're told to go out into the world and make disciples. But this group of people we're to turn away from. Why? These are false believers. These are false churches. These are people who are corrupting and perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ and what it means to be a Christian. Turn away from such these people. They claim to believe, or they're spiritual in nature. A lot of people say that nowadays. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power. They deny the power true of Jesus Christ. They deny the Holy Spirit and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. They deny discipleship is what we're really called to. We're not called to attend church. And we're not called just to be good people who attend church. We're called to be disciples. We're called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are called to put on the full armor of God and make our stand in this evil world. We are to make a difference, a salt and light, to be true disciples. So you have a choice in the church. You can stand with the world, as the Bible warns us towards the end, and many churches are doing that today, and I'll show you here in a few minutes. Or you can make your stand for Jesus Christ. But to truly stand as a disciple of Jesus Christ in this world, it will cost you. It will cost you. He also warns Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not if, not maybe, will. There's no way you can stand in a culture that is pagan in nature, is God-denying in nature, has become corrupt and sinful. There is no way you as a believer can be salt and light and not draw attention to yourself. And darkness does not like the light. If you are truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, Not that you want it, not that you're trying to bring it upon yourself, but your very nature of walking with Jesus Christ in this world will make some or someone angry with you. And you'll pay a price. If your faith never causes anyone to be upset with you or irritated with you, maybe you're not being as much salt and light as you think. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men, imposters, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That is a key trait of the end times, the deception. But you, even with all that going on, even with maybe being persecuted and with all the deception, but you must continue in the things which you have learned. And being been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy was taught the Scriptures from a young age. You see, that's what youth group is about. But many churches today have turned it into social events, or let's have fun, let's entertain the kids. Well, we have fun at youth group, but it's based solely around this. The kids are going to be taught this, but parents, I just have to encourage you, an hour with me on Wednesday, maybe an hour on Sunday, is not going to counter all those evil influences. You too must teach your children the Word of God. The Bible actually commands that. But from your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All right? So, that's kind of what we looked at last week. The sinfulness, the attack of the enemy. It's a 360-degree war all around our church, all around our families, our children. We have a choice. Compromise or stand up. We're supposed to stand up and resist the devil and the evil that's in this world in a loving, gracious way. Because remember, we used to be down there, part of that sinful world. And by God's grace, we've been brought over. We want to do the same for others. Now, that's what we looked at last week. Today, we're going to look at where we are in God's prophetic timeline. I think that's very important. The last days timeline, as according to the Bible. Where are we? Now, the Bible does teach. Now, this, if you remember, this is a sermon series I think I did when we were going through 2 Peter. So this was a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And I just wanted to quickly return to this section, so we can look at where we are in the timeline, because I think sometimes people get a little end times fatigue. And coming out of COVID, it seemed there was a lot of pastors out there teaching, man, we're near the end. The rapture's going to happen next week. And it didn't happen. And I didn't say it was going to happen next week, so don't put me in that category with those. We also always should be ready for the rapture, but we also should be ready that it's not going to happen in our timeline. We need to be ready. So the Bible tells us that the last days started with the coming of Christ. Basically, those were the writers after Jesus started writing these last days, these last days. Now, you have the last days starting with Christ and coming to this. So we've been in it for around 2,000 years. Then you have references to the last days of the last days, the time of sorrows, the days of sorrows. At the very end, right before the tribulation period. Where are we on that timeline? Well, we don't know the date of the tribulation period. But we do know the signs that the Bible warns us about, that you're near the end of days. So I want to look at that. And some of you may remember some of these things from when I taught this in 2 Peter. It'll put us in the ballpark. How big is the ballpark? I don't know. Let's just see what happens here. Where are we on the timeline? Well, the Bible first told us that in the very end times, in the tribulation period, Israel was going to be back in the land. Israel is going to be reformed after not being a nation for 1,800 years. That a nation that had been wiped out, the Jews scattered amongst all the nations, didn't exist. that in the end, Israel was going to be a nation again. Next slide, Levi. That happened in 1948. So yeah, the end times clock started with the coming of Jesus Christ, but it accelerated or should have got everybody's attention in 1948 when one of the biggest prophecies in Scripture was fulfilled in a single day, as Scripture tells us. Israel, out of existence, to come back into existence in its land. Now, people are trying to discredit this left and right. This is one of the biggest prophecies in Scripture and should have woke up the whole world to the coming of Jesus Christ. Again, when we taught this, I went in more in depth. Today, I'm just doing a quick overview. 1948, Israel. But then it tells us that Jerusalem would be the capital, because Jerusalem was always the capital of Israel. But when they came back in 1948, Jerusalem was not part of it. But Jerusalem would be back within the Jews' hand. Well, that happened in 1967. They recaptured it. But then the world itself didn't recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. The world international community said, no, Tel Aviv's your capital. God's like, no, 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 no. My people's capital is Jerusalem. 2017, it became the capital once again. When you see these things, realize that you're near. The Bible also tells us in the end times, but in the tribulation period, there'll be a third temple. We looked at this. We looked at the Temple Institute. We looked at how they got all the instruments ready for the temple. They have all the building material ready to go in Israel. They've already been training priests and the high priest. They have the outfits, they have it all. They even got the red heifers now. They said that when they finally get to go to lay the cornerstone of the new temple, they can have that temple built in 90 days. Go on the Temple Institute. See how they got everything ready to go. We've talked about this before. But the Bible says in the end, there'll be a third temple. They're ready to build the third temple. Okay? The next thing was Ezekiel, in the Ezekiel chapter 36 through 38, basically mostly 38, you'll have the Ezekiel Gog and Magog war. This is an invasion of Israel from the north. From three main countries are leading this coalition against Israel: Turkey, Iran, Persia, and Russia. Now, never recorded in human history up until 2017 or so, were there Russian, Iranian, and Turkish troops working together north of Israel in Syria. It's never happened. The Bible says in the end, these will come together along with Libya, Sudan. Just this last week, Russia and Sudan agreed to have a Russian port there in Sudan. So Russia has access to that area. And they're going to be selling a lot of arms to Sudan. Russians are already in Libya as well with treaties. So is Turkey. Iran has always been the bully in the area. They're all coming together. Now here's a picture of the three. It's Putin, Erdogan of Turkey, and the president of Iran, who just died in a helicopter accident. We don't know who's replacing him, but it's going to be just as bad, if not worse. They're all cozy together, just as the Bible predicted towards the end. And they have a common interest amongst them all. They don't like Israel, and they want her wealth, which the Bible tells us that's why they invade, to take the wealth. At least Gog does, the leader of this coalition, which might be Putin. But we see the evidence of that forming, that coalition of Gog and Magog. Also, towards the end, there's going to be a worldwide government. Well, definitely in the tribulation period, there's a worldwide government. One ruler ruling the whole world. Now, again, I don't have time today to go into all the evidence that we went in before, but I think it's generally, you know, especially since COVID, does anybody else think there's any evidence for people trying to globalize the whole world? Yeah, it's happening. Really big. Global government. We see it all around us. Big Brother. It's going to get even bigger, more intrusive. They're doing so many things to bring about global governance, as the Bible said they would. And a global governance with no cash, completely digital system. Well, they're working on that real as well. And all sorts of other things about the global government. Again, if you want, go back to listen to that in the second Peter series we have. We go into all the information of the global government. There's one more thing, a couple more things. Signs of the times. All right, got that up there. Now, what does that mean? The signs that Jesus warned us about. And these signs have been taking place approximately the last 100 years. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." So the very first thing Jesus warns his disciples about the end, is the great deception. Oh, there's so much deception. There's deception inside the church. There's deception outside the church. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. They may not literally be saying they're Jesus Christ, but what they're doing is they're saying they're the anointed by God. They're the way, one of many ways, maybe. A lot of people want to say that today. There's many ways to God. No, there's not. And will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. That is, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Many believe, and I'm in this camp, that this is referencing something that they never seen before when they wrote this in the first century. World war. Nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. It's a way of trying to say that just complete war. Well, that started in early 1900s. 1914. When did the First World War actually begin? 1914? Yeah, somewhere around there. Can't believe I don't know that. And there'll be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And when we went through this in the Peter study, I showed you all the statistics of how famine, natural disasters, earthquakes have just shot up since 1948. It's like God's trying to get a hold of our attention. So I say we've been in the days of sorrow for at least 100 years. Finally, there's an apostasy in the church. Turning away from sound doctrine. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, the rapture of the church, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as if from us, as though this day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. So when the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, you can read it in context. He tells them about the tribulation period coming up, but he tells them about the rapture before then. Then the tribulation period that's going to come. He taught them this when he was there this. Then he departs. Someone comes into the church, a false teacher, or sends a letter saying it's from Paul, telling the church, you missed the rapture, you're in the tribulation period. And now they're all scared and don't understand, confused, and they write Paul, telling them, explain to us what's happening. And he writes 2 Thessalonians. And he says, listen, don't be deceived. You're not in the tribune, you're not in the end time, because two things have to take place before you can say you're in the tribulation period. One, the man of sin has to be revealed. How is the man of sin, the Antichrist, revealed to the world? Who knows what the biblical answer is? The peace treaty. We'll sign a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years. That's how you know the Antichrist just came on the scene. And boy, all our presidents and world leaders have been trying to create a peace treaty in Israel for a long time now. One of them is going to be successful sooner or later. That's the one. The other sign was the falling away. Falling away, described there in the Greek, is translated as rebellion. You're in rebellion to what you're pulling away from, you're falling away from. This is talking about a rebellion in the church to the truth of God's Word. You see, this is our authority. Christ is our chief shepherd. He is the head of the church. And this is the Word of God. The Word that became flesh. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus gave us the Word. For He is the Word. This is God-breathed, living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. This is our authority. We have no right to judge it as incorrect, false. We have no right to change it. And if you change it, ooh, there's some warnings in there. You don't want to do that. This is everything to us. We don't worship this, but this is our authority. But then the time tells us in the end, the church will be in rebellion to this. The church will have such a big head and so prideful because they forgot the humbleness of our suffering servant that they'll put themselves as authority over this. And they'll be in rebellion. And when you're in rebellion to God and His authority, your love will grow cold, as Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 24. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, going against the Word of God, lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. There's more false teachers today than you can shake a stick at. Never before in church history has there been so many false teachers, so many heresies taught. Next slide. We got them in this town. Next slide. We talked about this last week. It's one of the things that is pulling young people away from the truth. But it's not just false teachers and false teachings. It's just flat out rebellion to God. Many churches. Next slide. There's a dude there with a mustache and a dress. And you know what? Christ died for these people. We got to reach them. We don't compromise. We don't agree with them to get along. No, we have to stand up and tell the truth. And that's why when you want to live godly, you'll suffer persecution, especially today. If you stand up for the truth, these people need to repent and be born again. Next slide. Now they're out in public, in defiance and rebellion to God, falling away from truth. And now they're parading it. A church. A Methodist church. There's Baptist churches doing this as well. Then last week we talked about good old American Christianity. It's a rebellion to God. Because American Christianity makes it all about us and America. And you put Jesus on the same level as Trump. And like I showed you, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I love her conservative views when it comes to country. But she calls herself a Christian. But at the same time, she's just as foul and nasty as anybody. American Christianity teaches all as long as you believe in God and country, you're good to go. And then you can act any ungodly way you want to. Well, if that's the case, why did Jesus come and die? If we can just be just foul and sinful still, even though as long as we claim Jesus, then there was no reason for the death of Christ. It's a total, it really gets me going. False Christianity. Second Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers that will teach them what they want to hear. Make it all about me. Entertain me. Oh, tell me I can still go to heaven as long as I believe in Jesus Christ, no matter how nasty my life is, how much sin I have in my life. I'm not going to turn from my sin. Oh, I can have my sin and I can have Jesus too. And all this stuff that people want to hear. No, but if you preach, repent of your sins and be born again and become a disciple, a slave of God, where life is no longer about you, but it's about Him. Well, they don't want to hear that. They heap up for themselves teachers that are going to tickle their ears and tell them the fluffy stuff they want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's what the church will look like in the end. One last thing, scoffers. Another sign of the end, 2 Peter chapter 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of His coming? So this is talking about people who are mocking Christians and mocking the return of Christ. Oh, everything's just continued uniformitarianism. We talked about this when we were talking about the flood and millions of years and all that. Uniformitarianism, everything just continues as it always is. Jesus is not returning. So this is talking about people who don't believe at all, scoffers. And we got a lot of those today. But there's a soft scoffer that we have inside the church. I see it. I see it in churches today. Those who would never deny that Jesus is going to return, they believe it. They just don't think about it too hard today. They're just not too concerned with it. Sometimes they don't even want it to happen yet because they have a life they want to live. They have things they want to do. And so they're more than happy just to, let's not focus too much on His return. I'm too busy with my life for that. It's a soft scoffing. But see, that kind of attitude makes it where people are not, they don't care about really being the church. They don't care with the Great Commission. They have no concern to see other people get saved. Oh, they like to hear people about people getting saved. That's nice. But they're not concerned in themselves to share the gospel. That's where many churches fall short. So we have this attitude that will be prevalent in churches today. Many who are not really wanting to hear too much about the end. All right. I got 4 minutes. This is a coffee shop. No, I told them to stay open a little bit longer because we had people. But anyway, I'm going to get through this. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hit it, Levi.
4, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
I love to see how many of you still jump. Some of you have seen that like 10 times and you still jump. A moment, a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Oh, yes, there's a rapture. Enoch was raptured. And yes, people, the preacher of rapture, you people just want to escape. Well, yes, read Luke 21. Jesus said you can escape all these things. I have no problem escaping the tribulation period. Now, if God said, hey, I want my church to go through the tribulation period, I'd be like, yes, sir. But there is a preacher of rapture. That's why I teach it. I used to be mid-trib. And then until I studied it, and the Bible is very clear, it's pre. And that's why I teach it. Not because I want to escape. If God wanted me to stay here through the tribulation period, I would. But I am going to give an account to Jesus as a pastor, as a Christian, as a man. And he's going to hold me accountable. I'm held to a higher standard, he says, when you teach the Word of God. And I'm going to make sure I'm teaching it correctly. Because I'm going to give an account to him. The rapture is going to happen, folks. When you start to see all these things, you know you're near the end. And the rapture is before the end. One last thing, and I got to really move. Zechariah 12, verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in the day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all people. So the surrounding people are going to be upset and focused on Jerusalem, Israel, the surrounding nations. But then it's going to be a problem for the whole world, what's going on in the Middle East. Does that sound familiar? Towards the end, at the end, the whole world's going to be focused on a little country about the size of New Jersey and a little city called Jerusalem. And basically, at the very end, all nations will come against Israel. Next slide, Levi. May all you who hate Jerusalem be turned back in shameful deceit. Many Bible warnings through Scripture. You don't want to be against Israel. You don't want to be against, standing against God's people. All right? They are God's people. He made an unconditional covenant with them, to Abraham. They belong in the land. It's their land. You don't want to come against it. But that's exactly what we are doing under our current administration. Next slide. Netanyahu says Israel can stand alone. The Bible says towards the end, she'll be back in the land. That's a miracle of God right there. She's there. And then Jerusalem's going to be their capital. Boy, that's happened. And then, we're at the very end of time, they have to stand alone in the world. Gee, what's happening right now before our eyes? She's standing alone. Almost. Most countries are lined up against her already. Next slide. Biden's doing everything he can to undermine them. He is not a friend of Israel. He is an enemy. I have a video about Israel being isolated. I don't have time because I'm out of time. So click one, Levi. There you go. Good job, Levi. But in that video, it shows how Israel is becoming more and more isolated in the world. Then this last week, Ireland, Spain, and Norway said they're going to recognize a Palestinian state. And you remember, I did that sermon on Israel / Palestine. There is no such thing as Palestinians. It's totally a lie made up by the Emperor Hadrian of the Roman Empire in 134 AD. You guys remember? Good. It's a lie. One of the biggest lies in human history. And it's still being played out in the news today. But here, these three nations are going to say, we believe the lie over God's people, over the truth. Got worse. Spain, when, not to say we're going to recognize a Palestinian state, but the vice president of Spain said, from the river to the sea. What is she saying? She's saying that the Jews need to be wiped out. From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, which most of the people who shout that don't even know that. She's calling for a genocide of the Jewish people. Germany says it will arrest Bibi Netanyahu if he steps one foot into their country because the International Criminal Courts said he's a war criminal for defending his people when they were attacked on October 7th. Folks, the world changed on October 7th. The rise of anti-Semitism. It's bad. Oh, there was so much more, but I gotta finish. Boy, we're seeing all the signs, but there's one thing that's in. It's not so much what we see in Scripture that's happening; it should get our attention. There's another thing, especially for us today as Americans, that should captivate us and really worry us. Not worry, but catch our attention. There's something in Scripture that we don't see. That should That should bother us. And what is that? Next slide, Levi. The United States is not in Bible prophecy. The greatest nation, and I'm not just saying that because I'm American, the most powerful, greatest nation in human history is not found in the Scriptures. We're not an end times player. Russia is, Persia, Iran. There's even references to the European countries, but not us, not even the slightest. United States is not mentioned in Bible prophecy of the end. Why is that? There's only a couple reasons. Let me give them to you. Like the Romans and the Greeks, they morally collapsed within. There was a moral corruption to the people, and their societies collapsed morally. Then they were hit from the outside and overtaken. We are in moral decline in this nation. So maybe we get so morally corrupted, we can be hit from the outside. Or economic collapse on top of that. Maybe it's both. Moral corruption and economic. The spending of Washington under both parties. And don't put your hope in Trump. We had 4 years of Trump. Look where we are today. Well, that wasn't Trump's fault. I know. But just because you put a president in for 4 or 8 years doesn't mean the next one isn't going to. We're worse off today than we were before Trump. Another 4 years of Trump is not going to turn things around. Might slow things down a little. It's not going to slow the decay. Maybe we have an economic collapse and we stop being a superpower. Morally collapse. Maybe we're attacked and defeated. There's lots of enemies that hate us. Well, or maybe, you know, the news and the movies, maybe there was a civil war. Maybe they get us so divided and we hate each other so much in this country that we have another civil war that just kind of takes us out of being a superpower. That's a possibility some are talking about. Or maybe after the church is raptured, the U.S. becomes just part of the new world order, just total godless on board. They're no being, we're just like everybody else. But somehow, some way, this country goes way down in status. We're watching it happen before our eyes. So, folks, last slide, Levi. Where are we? I say we're pretty close. We're in the ballpark. Could we see the rapture at any time? Yes. Are we? Who knows how big the ballpark is? But we're there. We're seeing all these things. How much time do we have left? How much time? We don't want to waste any more time, folks, chasing the cares of this life, chasing false things. We got to be about the church's business, which is saving souls, sharing the gospel, hitting the streets, sharing with our neighbors, our families, co-workers, friends, whatever. When you start to see all these things, and we're seeing all these things, Jesus said this in Luke 21. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready to continue into the days of sorrow and things get a lot worse? Because that's what the Bible says. And we need to be there. We need to be hope and strength, salt and light when the world really gets dark. Maybe when our country collapses and people are going looking for hope, maybe we're supposed to be there standing tall saying, come, come home. Come to Jesus. Whatever it is, rapture, or we're here longer, we need to be here ready to go, doing what God has called us to do. It takes all of us. And I told you, our church is having some hard times right now. I'll go into a little more of that next week. Nothing that God can't fix, nothing that we can't get over. But there's some things we need to deal with. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to ask you for 4 more minutes because I really want to finish with this song. So come on up, team, while I pray, so we can go get out of here real quick. Next week, I pray and I ask everyone to be here. I have some really important things to say to the church. Really important. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we're just thanking for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for letting me be able to speak this morning and look at all these signs. And you're saying that when we see these things, look up, your redemption draws near. And Lord, we pray your return. Come get the church. We're ready. But Lord, let us also be just as happy and content and motivated to stay and be about your business no matter what's going to happen in this world. As long as you have us here, there's hope for others to be saved. We can take them with us when it's finally time to go home. Lord, let us be about your business. Get our hearts, get off the world, off the distractions in the world and the cares of this life, and get back to what really matters. Lost souls, being trained as disciples so we can go out and share with people and answer their questions and give them hope and truth that they may find the grace and the mercy through the gospel. Lord, I ask you to help us. Help us that the world may see you and each one of us, and that we take being your disciples seriously. That they can see you in us. That's our prayer. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Why don't you guys sing this last song?
In this obsession with the things this world could make us happy, can't see the slaves we are in all the searching of the grasping. Like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding. So now I'm running free into an ocean of mercy. I'm ending. Can't be the slaves we are in all this.
know, we chase things in this world so much, looking for purpose, happiness, whatever it may be, and it becomes a heavy burden and chains. Remember what we sang the very first song. The truth will set us free. All you need is Jesus Christ. If you have Him, you have everything. And if you let Him into every aspect of your life, the chains will be broken. There'll be freedom. There's where true happiness is. Not in anything else, but in Him. Pray for you guys this week. Let's break out of here. Oh, yeah. Come on, Mike. Mike, Julie, Leroy, come on up too real quick. You guys were here last week. Mike is joining us in fellowship. He came in. He has been baptized. He's a believer. He's been born again. We talked about it. Had a good conversation. He's Jackie's son. Jackie's son. So he's carrying on Jackie's legacy here. So coming to be membership. So all those that are members here, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody say nay? Not just even one. Mike, welcome aboard. They came last week, and I totally forgot, but we got them in. So today, when we break out of here, come up and join, welcome them into our fellowship, okay? So, again, we're playing for Team Jesus. The playing field is out there. Let's go be salt and light. Let's go play for our captain, our Lord and our Savior. So let's break out of here. Count of three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.